would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Hello there. Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. It's Monday night, 9 o'clock. I'm the titular John Forward, local comedian and radio host and other things. Let's get right to it. We've got some plans for later on. Most of my my fans, you're on the edge of your seats. Left you on a bit of a cliffhanger last week. I told you I was going to be cutting short my... my break from smoking weed. I'm still alive. It's been since August, and this past weekend I went to see the band Sleep on 420, so it was a worthy exception, but it's been a rough week. Not sure if the universe was trying to tell me not to throw my life away like that, just thing after thing. Last week I had mentioned that my my eye was a bit watery on the show, but that turned out to be the beginning of a not-fun eye infection. I've had prescription drops going since Wednesday, but my my upper left eyelid is still nice and swelled up and not fun. So that was the first thing. Tuesday, saw on Facebook that that guy named Brad McCoughlin had killed himself. I don't really know the guy personally. He'd say hi at shows when I saw him. He had a Facebook page called The Daily Brad, where he took a selfie of himself on the toilet every day that I enjoyed. I never thought that I'd miss seeing pictures of a guy taking a dump every day, but here we are. That was a sad thing. Comedian from Moncton, Martin Saulnier, he also passed away on Friday. We're gonna come back to that one though. But so I'm gearing up for this big weekend that I've been looking forward to for a while. Saturday morning, I get up and I go have some breakfast before picking up my friend Dave so that we can drive down to Portland. And after I get him, we're on our way to pick up Third Musketeer, Joel, and my front passenger side wheel is just making this terrible loud grinding noise. Dave and Joel's cars have been having trouble lately too, so mine was the least bad option. So we were going to roll the dice and hopefully the wheel didn't fall off. Once we got going, the noise went away, so we started towards the border. Noise still hasn't come back, so I don't know what it was. It might have been a rock caught in the wheel well. So, I don't remember the last time that I didn't just get waved through the U.S. border. It's probably been like 15 years. I'm a pretty respectable-looking fellow. I tell them I work at Diabetes... I never said that on work. I don't work anywhere. You know, it was a slow day, though, on Saturday, so they were sending everybody into the building to get questions, and the usual, where are you from, where are you going, what for, how long, where are you staying... So we told them we were going to see the band Sleep. They never heard of them, probably looked them up, which didn't help. Quick Google search immediately spits out the word stoner rock, and there is a YouTube link for their song Dope Smoker. So not looking good. My friend Joel, or Joel, as they pronounced it at the border for some reason, he's a long-haired fellow. He's got some tattoos. That probably didn't help. Took my keys, searched the car. They pull the dog van up so that they can send those dog narcs through. And I knew I didn't have anything on me, and I assumed that my friends didn't either. Turns out my friend Dave's book bag smelled like weed, and so they interrogated further. They patted us all down. They didn't find anything though, because we didn't have anything. still gave us a lecture clarifying that even though it's legal in the state of Maine and in Canada, it's still illegal to cross the border with it. Well, duh. You know that we smoke. Well, they do. And we didn't have any with us, so I guess we'll just continue to not bring weed across the border. Thank you for the lesson. Side note, on our way back into Canada on Sunday, much more relaxed. The border guard also never heard of the band Sleep. I told him it was a metal band, and he was like, well, I never heard of them, but I listened to Slayer and shit. That's a quote of what the border guy said, and I said, well, you should look them up because you've been missing out, and then we just went on our merry way back home. So, we get down to Portland, check into the hotel. We get in touch with our man on the ground down there, which I was worried that, you know, when they were interrogating us, maybe they looked me up online and saw the description of last week's episode, said that I was about to start living dangerously. And in the intro, I may have mentioned that we had a contact down there, and I didn't know how we were going to answer for that if they listened to it somehow. But anyway, we met up with this guy, we got some stuff, and we smoked a couple of joints before we went in. My first puff since August, and I enjoyed myself thoroughly. I didn't gateway into any heroin or anything all weekend. I probably smoked more than I needed to for the first time in 8 months. And then even after I was like, I've had enough, I screwed up like my exhaling Instagram video a couple of times because I thought you just had to hit the button, but you have to hold it down. So I had to take an extra couple of puffs beyond that so that I could get it on tape. We got in there and it was pretty crowded in the venue. And I'm like, oh, this is that paranoia that they talk about. But, you know, I kind of recognized it for what it was and that it was fake. So I just made a decision that I'm just going to stand here anyway because it's all in my head and nobody else cares that I'm here. My friend's getting a drink at the bar. I'm just going to stand here and nobody is thinking about it at all. So eventually I got sore feet and went up for a seat in the balcony with the other old people. But I at the start of the show, me and my friends, we had a pretty good spot on the floor, and the music kicked in, and all of the paranoia went away, and the music started, and I'm just I'm sitting there, and I'm just taking it all in, and just feeling good, and there she is. I've missed you so much, Mary Jane, and It was such a good show, and I'm listening to the music, and I'm feeling pretty good. We're rocking out. This kind of kicks in. Like I got a lot of writing done when I would get high and go watch a band, so that kind of turned that switch back on, and I kept thinking of tags to add on to my jokes. I'm standing there in the crowd, I'm getting my phone out to write stuff down because I'm weighing out the looking like an asshole on my phone at the show, but I'd rather not risk forgetting these golden nuggets that I'm thinking of every couple of minutes, so whatever. I'm not on Facebook just idly scrolling, I'm creating art, leave me alone. And so I'm sitting there, standing there watching the show and coming up with all this stuff, and then I had a thought that I'm not proud of. I thought to myself, this is going so great, how in the hell am I going to segue this into the comedian that died? It's on the radio show, which is not the first thought that I should have had, but it's a thought that I had. Like, I was kind of beforehand, I was thinking, well, all this terrible stuff that happened, and that would be, like, the worst part that happened, but then the story was getting too happy, and I was having a good time, and I didn't know how to segue into the sad stuff out of the lovely story of a grown man joyfully getting stoned. And I didn't know what I was gonna do. I'm like, how am I gonna? Should I say, like, why couldn't it be this guy standing in front of me with his cell phone up in my face recording the show instead of Martin? But, I don't know. I'm just, I'm at a loss for, I found out about it on Friday, and, not really sure it hasn't really hit me. I don't know what to say. He's been a staple on the comedy scene for at least as long as I've been a part of it. And I saw him at shows all the time, and he was always a super nice guy. And now that he's gone, I feel bad that I never really got to know him super well, like personally. But as a comedian, he was super professional guy. I'm not going to pretend like I loved every single joke that he had, but I could tell that he enjoyed what he was doing, and he put a lot of work into it. He worked really hard on his comedy, and he had his go-to bits, but he was always working on new stuff too, and trying stuff out and taking risks, and it seemed to be paying off for him. He was in the Hubcap Festival last year, and probably for years previous to that too. He was doing something with Just for Laughs, crown jewel of his credits. He won the James Mullinger Comedy Boot Camp that first year around. All kinds of stuff. And a lot of people just kind of, especially lately, have been kind of digging in, doing only stuff in their own city at certain shows. But Martin tried to do all the shows. He wanted to do as many shows as he could in different places, different rooms, just because he was working at what he was doing, and he wanted to get good. He actually reached out to me like 3 weeks ago because he wanted to do the next Uptown Comedy Deluxe in May at O'Leary's. He was supposed to headline that. I guess he'd been talking to people as recently the day before he died. Just nobody saw it coming, just saw it on Facebook. I don't know what happened. I don't think anybody does. Just died in the hospital. That's all we know. Don't know what to say about it. So, gonna open it up for other people. There's people out there that know him better than I did. And if anybody has any stories to share or anything that they want to say, how they're feeling about it, I'm gonna play a song, and then I'm gonna put the phone back on the hook, and we'll start taking calls until 10 p.m. 648-5667 is the number, which is different than the original one that I posted. I don't know how the phone number changes in here, but it has. So anyway, I'm gonna put the phone back on the hook. I'm gonna start the song. We might cut the song early if somebody calls in. Anyway. Where is it? I got Chris Trotter here to back me up, as she's got more tact for this type of thing than I do. So she'll be here to lend a hand as needed as a licensed therapist. So anyway, let's play some music and maybe take some phone calls on St. John Forward Radio. Martin was 40 years old.
I say my prayers every morning just like orange juice. I crack the crinkles out my body till I'm feeling loose. I put my sneakers on my feet like they was combat boots. They fit my feet like Cinderella when I'm shooting hoops. Why, oh why, the memories be chasing me. Sometimes it makes me wanna pack my shit and flee. Sometimes I wanna blow my brains to put my life at ease. But I ain't clocking out, I gotta see the seven seas, please. Seven's a very lucky number for me. That was the age and I discovered how good baller could be. Up every morning with the birdies doing little drills. Go through my left, go through my right, developing math skills. How could a love for this game bring so much sadness? I play with brothers with so much badness. But now they're gone, I sing a song, pop a three from the top of the key in their memory. Why, oh why, the memories be chasing me. Sometimes it makes me wanna pack my shit and flee. Even in seasons when it's another color sport, I still be memorizing lines that on the basketball court. Singing why, oh why, the memories be chasing me. Sometimes it makes me wanna pack my shit and flee. Even in seasons when it's another color sport, I be remembering my partners on the basketball court. Do you remember? Running the court in September. Me and my homies be down for whoever would come along and try to send us to the showers from the game that we've been dominating there for hours all day. To be more specific, east to west, from Atlantic to Pacific, fools will come round to get down and try to take a crown, but we will hold the ground and we will never back down. Old timers, new timers, we'll get in line there and take a seat there and try to peep at. But oh no, there was no chance when we was in the zone. We was alone at the top, we had hops, we got props, and when we needed to, we busted chops. Wipe the court with your game like we was using mops. Whatever happened to the super hoopers in the park? I reminisce while shooting solitary after dark. Why, oh why, the memories be chasing me. Sometimes it makes me wanna grab my shit and flee. Even in seasons when it's in other color sport, I still be memorizing lines that on the basketball court. Singing why, oh why, the memories be chasing me. Sometimes it makes me wanna grab my shit and flee. Even in seasons when it's in other color sport, I be remembering my partners on the basketball court. Basketball court. Brother C came fresh from out of town, and he had handles and like McDonald's, he could clown you. Dribbling baby bounces between drinking 40 ounces, knock you on the heel and do circles like he was curling here. But oh no, the liquor got quicker to his head, and he said, I think I must have played some super bets. He hit me up for some cash, there was a car crash, a splash, and then the brother made a mad dash. Rob on rob, his whole life was like a roller coaster, but on the court he looked like a Dr. J poster. Flying high with an afro, blowing in the wind, wiping Windex, index finger rolls off the glass, then swish through the net. Jump a Corvette with the triple pirouette. But off the court, he had a few temptations, copulations, no moderations. By 24, he had 3 pregnations. Last check, crack intoxication. So many other brothers gone from this dimension, and none of those who got hurt receive a pension. Give a football to those locked up in detention. Memories, too many to mention. And we say, one more time.
One more time.
Why, oh why, the memories be chasing me. Sometimes it makes me wanna grab my shit and flee. Even in seasons when it's another color sport, I still be memorizing lines out on the basketball court. Singing why, oh why, the memories be chasing me. Sometimes it makes me wanna grab my shit and flee. Even in seasons when it's another color sport, I be remembering my partners on the basketball court. Basketball court.
We're back. Phone's not ringing. I did accidentally still have it on hold instead of ready to go for a couple of minutes during the song. So if you were trying to get through, then try again. 648-5667. Chris, did you have anything that you wanted to, any memories, stories, or anything that you wanted to share? And oh, we got a phone call. Never mind, Chris.
No worries.
Oh, hello.
Hey, John Ford.
Hey, Shane.
No, Reverend Brian.
Oh,
Kyle.
Right. Okay. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Not too bad. We spoke on Friday night. You seem to be in a real bad place. How are you feeling today?
I think the initial phases of grief have passed, and I just wanted to call up and tell you I missed my friend.
Yeah. Do you have any stories about Marty that you wanted to share? Anything that you can remember?
Yeah, absolutely. Marty was one of the first guys I met when I came onto the baritone comedy scene. And he's actually the first bilingual comedian that I ever worked with. And he was instantly friendly and supportive and kind and quick to give unsolicited advice. Which I always found kind of funny.
Yeah, he gave that advice to everybody except for me. He one time he told me that I should never sit down on stage, but that's the only time he ever and he gave me advice, and I was never sure if that meant that he thought I was a lost cause or that I was just so good I didn't need his advice. I'm not sure which.
I think he probably thought you were still good.
We'll go with that.
The only advice that Marty ever gave me was one night we were doing Yuck Yuck with Andrew Albert, and I got off stage, and Marty proceeded to tell me that I shouldn't wear a T-shirt with any sort of movie on. Distracting to the audience members to look at my logo T-shirt.
We were a little muffled there. I think you were saying that he said he didn't want you to, you shouldn't wear a T-shirt with any kind of distracting artwork or logos on it.
Yeah, that's right. He said you shouldn't wear a T-shirt with any logo or artwork on it.
He definitely never said that to me.
Of Yuck Yuck, and of course this advice is completely unsolicited. And Andrew Albert was standing with me, and Andrew Albert says, "Marty, I don't know that he asked you for that advice." And that was kind of the end of the conversation right there.
Yeah.
But he was a good guy. Before we started the show, he would do this thing where he would do like a, I don't know if it was Tai Chi or what, but he would lean forward and he would cross his arms across his chest, and then he would put his arms up. He said he was pushing all the bad energy before he'd get up on stage.
Yeah, he did that at a show. Now that I'm thinking of it, I did a show with Shane in Moncton, and I was in the middle of a set and saw Marty at the back of the room, just bent over and just, it's hard to describe this on the radio, but just kind of like flicking his arms away from his chest. It looked like he was like, "Stop, stop, stop!" And I bailed. It really threw me off, and I didn't know what was going on, and I kind of rushed through the rest of my set and came off, and I was like, "What?" He's like, "What do you mean?" He was just doing his stretches. It had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, that was Marty.
Yeah,
that was Marty. He was a great guy. He only gave advice, I think, out of a place of love, and he was a comedian who really cared about his craft, and he wanted everyone around him to rise to the level of professionalism. You know, he wanted to make sure that everyone had the best set that they could possibly have, and that everyone would improve with every new set that they had. Because I think that's what he saw for himself. He wanted himself to improve every time he was on stage, and he did every time he was on stage.
Yeah, everybody kind of made fun of him about the advice thing, but it I don't think anybody thought that it was from a place of superiority in that. Yeah, it's like you said, I think he just wanted to bring everybody up, and it really, it wasn't coming from a place like, "I'm better than you, so listen up, bud." It was never like that.
Yeah, I don't think it was either. And I also wanted to say that Marty was a hero. I mean, he's a guy who wasn't supposed to live past like his 15th birthday or something. And he persevered, and he never complained. I mean, I remember doing a show at the Delta with him one night, and he couldn't get up on the stage himself. Like, he reached his hand up to me, and I wasn't sure what, if he just wanted to shake my hand, but he needed me to help hoist him up onto the stage so he could get up there. And when he got up there, he was strong, and he stood, and he grabbed the mic, and he did a solid set. And I just remember thinking how powerful that was, that even in reaching out a hand for help, he was displaying what an awesome human being he was.
Yeah. Yeah, and he got the show done. I don't think I've seen him do better than other times, but I don't think I've ever seen him bomb.
I've never seen him bomb either.
And it's not like he just retreats back into like the tried and true same thing that he's been doing for 5 years like some people do. He still was trying new stuff out. He would he'd mix it in with some of the old classics, especially I always thought it was really interesting. He made a point of always saying like, "Who has seen me before?" And if nobody in the audience had ever seen him before, then he would kind of bring out the greatest hits because he knew that they hadn't heard it, and he wanted everybody to have a good time, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if he said, "Who's seen me before?" and everybody and a bunch of people in the room applauded, then he would give them something new.
Yeah. I know it's a shock to our whole scene. He was a member of our family. And he was a great human being, and I don't know if I'll be able to be there on Thursday for his funeral because I've got a kid coming. My wife's going to go into labor any minute.
Yeah.
But I wanted to pay my respects somehow, and I think this is a good way to do it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. I'm gonna let you go so other people have a chance to give us a ring.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thanks for calling in.
You're a good man.
It's not about me. Only a little bit.
Right.
I'm a great man. I'll take it. Okay.
All right.
Have
later.
A good one. See ya. The Reverend Brian Giles calling in from Callis. The phone line is not great, but we've got another call. Hello?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Ooh. Shane Ogden.
How you doing, Shane?
I'm doing okay. How are you, man?
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Still hasn't set in, really.
It's kind of unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what happens, I guess, when someone you're close to dies. And I actually teared up a bit when I read the news, and I didn't expect that, because I didn't really feel that super close to Marty. But, you know, I mean, we've been doing comedy shows together for the better part of 10 years, you know?
Yeah, he's just always been around, and he's not anymore. It's weird.
It is. It's unsettling, and it's painful to everybody, you know, who knew Marty, because I don't think he had an enemy, did he?
I don't think so.
Like, no,
everybody kind of took varying degrees of issue with the unsolicited advice, but he was such a nice guy that nobody ever really held it against him.
No, I mean, that was kind of a joke, you know, especially with Julie and I at the comedy club. You know, we would always joke that Marty was going to let us know how to run the show, but it was never a nasty crap talk, you know. We were always laughing about it.
Yeah, no, the sound at the R bar every time. I just gotten into the habit of, all right, Marty, come up and twiddle the knobs. Let's get it right.
One thing about it was he would make sure it is right and is quality and all that, right?
Yeah, and you know, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. We have him plastered on the Wall of Fame. I mean, he is on the Wall of Fame at Chuckles Comedy Club probably more than any other local comedian. We love them.
Well, I take offense to that personally, but that's okay.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. But, you know, we love having you at the club, but we, you know, love having everybody at the club. But Marty was always consistent, you know, like you said with Brian on the phone just a minute ago.
Yeah.
That he was consistent. That was one of his key things, is he always, you know, worked really hard at his comedy, and it always shone through. You know, he always put on a good show. I did see him do better than, you know, sometimes than other times, but over and above, he was on average an excellent performer always.
Yeah, and especially since it wasn't English isn't his first language, he was just as good as anybody. And no offense to anybody else, but sometimes the French guys, you get the feeling like sometimes something they say something and you think to yourself, that's probably better in French. But
yeah.
But with Marty, it worked. He had an accent, obviously, but it never sounded like a weird broken Google Translate or anything. He always it always worked both ways. I never had the chance to see him in French, but I would imagine if he's that good in his second language, then I can't believe what he'd probably be blowing everybody out of the water in his own language.
Well, my understanding was he was well on his way to French superstardom, opening for giant French acts like Mike Ward and with the Acadie Humour, whatever it's called, just the last French version.
Yeah.
Like, he was really getting quite popular in that category. So, and his English stuff was getting popular too, but and he could do it in both languages. Just a testament to his talent.
Yeah, no, I remember standing with him outside Chuckles when he was on the show, and there was just like every 10 people that came through the door like recognized him and like shook his hand and said that they really like his stuff, and that was even before the show, so they were Martin Saulnier fans that came out to see him.
Look, Martin was always a crowd favorite. Like, my sister, all the regulars, Kelly Webb Abbott, and all of the people that came to Chuckles Comedy Club that we know by name, would ask us, when is Martin coming back? Oh, Martin's on the show. Excellent. Oh, you got to see this guy. He was that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just who he was as a comedian. And, you know, I mean, as much as I was happy about that and loved his comedy, I liked him as a person, too. And it was just always awesome to see him. He always gave me a big hug. He always gave me a big smile. And he was, you know, just truly a great person. And for him to be taken from so suddenly is such a tragedy. And it just really hurts and it just really sucks. And I don't know what to say. I feel so bad for his family and his friends. And yeah. I know that Marty will live on in our stories and our hearts. He will be missed.
Yeah, he will. All right, well, thanks for calling in. I'm going to let you go to give other people a chance to check in.
All right, well, thanks for doing the show, John, and to your listeners, look at Martin Saulnier's Facebook page for all the information coming up on his wake and his funeral this Thursday in Moncton. Thanks, John.
Yep, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, that was Shane Ogden. Let's sneak in a quick station ID here for 11 seconds before we get another call.
Hi everybody. It's the Mayor Comedy Shane Ogden, and this is 107.3 FM St. John Forward Radio.
You can do just about anything on your smartphone, like book a ride and order a lunch on the go. But did you know going online can help you declutter too? Give new life to your faded jeans or that outdated jacket. By booking a free donation pickup from Diabetes Canada, you'll keep your clothes out of landfill and contribute to funding diabetes research. Give your extra items a new home. Schedule your free home pickup at declutter.diabetes.ca today.
And Diabetes Canada is going to be having a clothing drive at the Mike Dambra Chuckle Show this weekend on the 26th and 27th. We're just a little bit past halfway through the show. We're still taking calls, 648-5667. Do you want to try again, Chris?
Sure, thanks. So, yeah, I only shared a stage with Martin maybe three times that I can think of. The one that stands out the most was a show where a musician went first before the comics, and I don't know what happened, but the sound wasn't very good. The room was long, and the people in the back were partying, and nobody was listening. And I was up before Martin, of course, and I just remember thinking how nervous he was and how serious he was. I'd never really seen that before. I saw him, I thought he was such a pro and so funny, and he was so serious and so nervous. I would expect that from myself, but not from him. But as people have said, he just brought the quality and the integrity. So then he did his set, and I won't say nobody listened, but it was hard to hear. And then afterwards, my feeling was, well, I'm not going to do this show again, you know, at this venue. Like, that was lame. But Martin, what stuck in my mind was saying, how could I have got their attention? You know, he just took responsibility. And no blaming and no sloughing it off. That really impressed me. And that's what I'll remember most about him.
Yeah, I never once heard him just be like, oh, what a terrible show or a bad room that was. Mm-hmm. It was, and, you know, those happen. But there's no show that's impossible for anybody to do well. So he didn't have that that bar, I guess, where he said, well, there's nothing I could have done to turn that around. He always wanted to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a real pro, big work ethic, and as everybody said, humble guy, nice guy, you know.
Yeah.
What hits me most is what have we missed now? Where was he going?
Yeah.
And I feel, I wrote on his, on the funeral home page, I feel for Acadie because I think he was going to be a big star for them. Yeah. I mean, he was, but, you know, bigger, and Akadi has lost that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's play a bit more music, but if somebody calls in, we'll still take the call. Let's go for some, I don't have any relevant songs to any of this, so I'm just going to play stuff that's on my list. Let's hear some Foo Fighters, and we'll be back in a bit on St. John Forward Radio, 648-5667, if you want to call in. We're back, St. John Forward Radio, still waiting for phone calls to come in, 648-5667. Heard a lot about kind of the thing that Martin Saulnier was known for in the comedy scene, was kind of giving unsolicited advice to people. I wasn't going to play this, but we've got some time to burn. I kind of did... We'll call it an homage to Martin, the one and only time I did comedy with balls. I It's the show out in KV, and I kind of came out and I got my little notebook out like Marty does on stage, and I gave some advice to the people running the show. Let's hear that for a minute. How many people have mental issues here tonight? I don't know. You guys are faking it. I do a show at the R Bar. This is not the same level of insanity by far. As a fellow showrunner, I've also got some other notes for Mark. First off, comedy with balls is a little sexist. I think comedy with genitals might be more inclusive. Can we get the volume on the VLT machines turned up about 500%? And the host, Troy, I love you, but you've got way too much energy. The host is supposed to sit down and be completely monotone. That's how it works. I do like the intermission, though. I can give autographs without ruining the show for everybody else. I understand that there isn't karaoke going on right before and after the comedy show. I don't know what that's about, but... Anyway, we don't want to be negative. We're in the Valentine's season.
Yes, not quite. Anyway, that was my my tribute to Martin Saulnier from January 2016. Yeah, still waiting for those phone calls. If you know anybody that should call in, let them know. My original post had the usual phone number for the booth in here. It's switched to the other one, but 506-648-5667 is the correct number. We've got about 18 minutes left in the show, but for the time being, I'm just going to queue up another song, and if the phone rings, though, we'll shut down the song and hear from the person. So anyway, here's some Tragically Hip.
Interesting and sophisticated, refusing to be celebrated. It's a monumental big screen kiss. It's so deep, it's meaningless. One day I'll just up and quit, and that'll be it. Just then the stripper stopped in a coffin fit. She said, sorry, I can't go on with this. Yeah, that's awful close, but that's not why. I'm so hard done by.
Hello?
Hello, John Forward.
Hello, Arif Hussein. I can tell by your foreign accent.
Oh, come on. I thought it's a little... You mean foreign as in sort of the King's English sort of foreign, right?
Yeah, you're too proper for St. John. That's
correct. Correct. I've just finished watching the newest Game of Thrones episode, and I feel very distinguished.
Yeah, well, that's awfully fancy of you. Do you... Do you have any thoughts on Martin Saulnier?
Marty, man, Marty was a great comic. He was a good man. He was always I usually say just the most heinous, horrible things on mic, usually to the consternation and just absolute dismay of most of the people in the audience.
What's your go-to Marty roast?
Well, I used to say things like it was great to have Gollum do stand up before me. That's the kind of thing I would say.
Yeah, that's a good one. He did. I remember he was kind of upset about John Nesbitt's sketch of him because John Nesbitt kind of made him look like a gremlin.
Even more so than reality.
Yeah, John, that's not a reflection on Marty as much as it is a reflection on John, I think.
Well, maybe Marty was a secret gremlin and John was the only one that could see it.
Possibly. Although I think in Marty's defense, I think John is seeing gremlins all of the time.
Yeah, probably.
I remember Marty had this one line that still to this day is it's perfect. He said that he was describing something, and he was describing some sort of sexual experience, and he said he was describing someone's penis, and he said he had a penis like he had bought it at Costco, which was one of the best lines I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think May and I kind of had an inside joke at home. Whenever we have a chance to shoehorn it into the conversation, we would say, "I got a big one," which I think was the tag that came after that.
No, man, he was a good dude, man, and it's a crying shame, but he sort of lived a full life. He went to the end of anything that any sort of local comic can hope for, you know. I mean, going all the way to Just the Laughs and all of that. I mean, that's...
Well, I did a show at an open mic across the street from a Just for Laughs show, so I was right on his tail.
Yeah. I mean, he was wowing audiences at Just for Laughs, getting uproarious laughter while other people were just blinking at you furiously and folding up their napkins while you were talking about it, a zombie prostitute.
This was a barber shop. There were no napkins.
The barber shop.
Yes.
Boy, we have taken some hell gigs, man. And Marty was right there with us sometimes, you know?
Yeah, no, even with all the success he had, he never got that idea in his head that he was too good for the R-Bar. Like, he would message me and want to do it, and it was kind of perfect. Like, he didn't ask to do the show so often that anybody got tired of him, but I never had to chase him down either. It was just, I don't know if he had it planned out that I'm going to wait this many months, but every time that he asked, it was always like, yeah, sure, you haven't been here for a few months, and I was always glad to have him.
One of the last conversations I had with him, and you know, it was a typical sort of R-Bar show with the usual collection of vagrants and nobodies just littered, peppered across the audience, and he just looked at me and says, "Do you know why exactly we are here doing this show?" I said, I can't really explain it. I drove from Moncton for this. I said, I know, man. I'm sorry. And like, well, here, I'll probably be back here again another month, next month.
Yeah, no, he was never disappointed. He always came back. Like, he's come down
He was always disappointed. It's just that he was still compelled to come back, even though it would fill him and all of us with disappointment.
Yeah, well, that was his work ethic. Not everybody likes going into work every day, so same thing for comedy.
I'm glad I like that you put it that way. Just us annoying the people who are anxiously awaiting singing The Gambler as a work ethic. Yeah.
Well, yeah, if we could all be so professional. Yeah.
Yes, the R-Bar is exactly like a factory, you know, in the 1970s, a cement factory in the 70s. We all came in there with our steel lunch boxes to eat our ham and cheese sandwiches.
Yep, just, you know, punching the clock.
That's right. But no, man, Marty was he was one of us, you know, and I'd like to say that it was of course it's sad that, you know, he's gone now, but I mean, the fact that he was with us for a while, you know, means everything. I think, you know, he gave everything. I mean, he did that. I remember him having a conversation about, and I think it was part of one of his bits that he said that the doctor said that he would never live past the age of 15.
Yeah.
You know, fact that he just managed to fill all of that life, you know, all of it, you know, all of the that you could possibly do being a comic from New Brunswick, which is sort of we're all sort of nobodies really, relatively.
Yeah.
Except for, I mean, unrecognized geniuses such as myself.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Everyone says that about me.
Well, you do have the highest quality phone line we've had so far.
Thank you.
Talking on your landline, all these other garbage cell phone calls that we got earlier tonight.
Exactly. You know, people sort of mock me for not having a cell phone, but...
Well,
you were thinking
all those years ago when everybody was getting cell phones, you were thinking one day someone is going to die and I'm going to need to call into the Memorial Campus Radio show. And I'm going to have the best sounding voice of all of them.
Yeah, I'm like that a handicapped boy in the Game of Thrones, you know, who can see the past and the future accurately. But he's also handicapped and can't do anything. So, you know, that's kind of like me.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
A lot like you.
Yeah, it's exactly like me. There's no difference at all. But, yeah, back to Marty. What a narcissist I am, right? Did we attempt to talk about a comic and we just sort of...
Well, that's. I think that's part of the process, talking it out. And this doesn't need to be a sad, weepy thing. I think he'd want us to continue living our lives. And, you know, we're all... idiots, and we make stupid jokes to cope with the pain of the world.
Yeah. I just wish I could have gotten video of that time that he picked up that hooker. You know, just what was the real conversation that he had?
Yeah, it was a real Eddie Murphy situation.
Man.
All right.
Yes.
Well, thanks for calling in. I'll let you go just in case anybody else wants to squeak in for the last little bit of the show.
Sure, man.
All right, thanks for calling.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Hi, Chris.
Good night.
Bye.
So, Chris, you wanted to talk about the importance of, you know, talking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to say that this has been really shocking. Here one minute, gone the next. It does a number on the head. And it's my opinion and other people's opinion that many comics, I'm sure there are some exceptions, but many comics are comics and are funny because they see the world from the outside in some way. And it's possible that with a shocking death and somebody who we thought would be with us forever is suddenly not. It is just hard on the head. And if you're already feeling like an outsider or you're sitting on other issues or other, what do you know, whatever, the hard things in life, this can, for some people, it'll be more than sad. It can fuck you up, you know, and it can hit you now or it can hit you months from now. That might be the harder one because if it hits you, you know, in the summer or in the fall or something, it rips off scabs of other injuries that you have. You might not even realize what's going on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I'm kind of babbling, but my point is, just want to say, I think we all know it, but I want to plant the seeds again. It's really, really important to reach out and talk with somebody, and if somebody feels like they don't have anybody to talk to, you can talk to me, seek me out, I guess, through Facebook, and I'll be there for you. I am a counselor, so it would be, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, maybe we are friends and you can talk to me, or maybe we aren't friends yet, but I got some training behind me. But it's shocking, and death is really hard, and life can be hard. I heard a great quote today, and it said, there's no passengers on the spaceship called Earth. We're all crew. So I was thinking that's such a great quote. And if that's true, then whatever we want to say to each other, like you're doing, we're all doing on the show tonight, John, it's like a team meeting, you know?
Yeah.
And we are a team, and let's have each other's back. But also, it's easy to have someone's back, easier. It's hard to ask for your back to be halved, but anyway, you know what I mean?
I think we've had some good examples from the men tonight of calling in and talking about their feelings and have some laughs and talk about shedding some tears, and that's good role modeling. Thanks for that, you three who called. Anyway, reach out to people through all this.
Yeah, we've got a few minutes left if anybody wants to squeak in by the end, 648-5667. And you know, whatever you got to say. I know, as like a comedian myself, that doesn't always have the most tactful response to this kind of thing. Like I got in trouble with some family with my when I was talking about when my grandmother died on here, just because my take on it isn't necessarily just the usual just oh sad she's with Jesus now type thing. And I know as comedians, a lot of us probably had some inappropriate jokey thought about the whole thing as just kind of our way to cope. And you know, it's not necessarily something that you want to put in a Facebook post and tag him for all the family to see. Might not even be something that you want to call in and put onto a radio show and on a podcast, but I'd just encourage everybody, at least, you know, when you see each other over the coming weeks, or even if you're talking to each other online, like if you have a wrong thought, just get it out. We're comedians, and we're kind of there is a lot of mental illness that runs through our ranks, but one of the benefits that we have over the normals is that we don't have to put that filter on, and we've got kind of an outlet for the stupid inappropriate thoughts that we have. And you know, if that's your way of responding to it, like that when I mentioned in the intro, like standing there stoned out of my mind watching Sleep play, I literally had the thought, like, okay, how do I transition this into talking about the dead guy? And you know, I thought that was kind of funny at the time, so that's what the transition turned into. Yeah, that's not necessarily what everybody in his sphere wanted to hear, but I don't know. I made the post for people to call in on the stand-up group, as opposed to just a like a public Facebook post tagging him, because not that his, you know, non-comedian friends and family don't deserve to have their time to grieve and talk and tell stories and stuff, but you know, I wanted this to be kind of the comedian grieving show. Well, not the one. If other people want to do a show, then that's fine. I think I'm the only one that's got the ability to take phone calls. As we've seen, sound quality not great. Turns out landline seems to work better than a cell phone. So keep that in mind for future episodes. But I've blabbed us right through almost to the end of the show. So I think I'm gonna close it down. Feels weird doing plugs, I guess, but there's a Five and Dime show coming up this Tuesday, the 23rd. If you're listening to the podcast version, that was yesterday, and you should be ashamed of yourself. starts at 8:30. There's some kind of private function going on until 8, so the doors won't be open before that. And then I'm not on the show, but again, this weekend, Mike D'Ambra is at Chuckles. He's a fan favorite, one of my favorite guys to see at Chuckles. And the Diabetes Canada truck will be there taking your clothing and household item donations. So come out to that. And Chris Trotter, thank you for joining me here tonight.
Thanks for inviting me, John.
And yeah, if anybody else wants to talk, send me a message, or Chris too, if mm-hmm. you want somebody with more tact. All right, that's a show. Good night.
Good night.